It is, what a time, right? What a crazy time. Everywhere you go, everything you do, there's a new set of rules. Every job site I go in, I now have to give my app or the door won't open. I am very weary of all of this. I'm not so weary. I understand the disease, but I'm so sick of man. We stand in an airport and we have to be 6 feet apart, and we stand 6 feet apart all the way through every line, and then we go sit next to each other 4 inches apart for 5 hours. You know, I'm tired of this stuff. But I, Lord, please, your words. Pastor Bailey asked me to share a little bit of a testimony of what we got to witness last week. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. And then in 4:16, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Right? So we went down to Baltimore. We drove down on Monday night. Was a great fun ride down there, and then be with the body for the European conference. So it was very interesting. We had the pastors meeting in the morning and this big screen up and everybody's little Zoom things there, and some of these guys were doing their dishes. Some guys are eating. It was kind of funny to watch because of all the different time zones. But the word was incredible. The excitement was there. The life was there. We really had a tremendous time. Pastor Schaller was on fire. Tremendous messages, really challenging messages. But what was so encouraging is there were many guys that would speak that I really didn't recognize hardly at all. Maybe had seen them as a teenager a few times, and now they're operating as pastors, and it was so good. It was so healthy. The body down there is very strong, very, very vibrant and full of life and going forward. But here's Satan. His whole plan is what? He wants to wear us out, wear us down, overwhelm us. I don't think it's just myself and my wife. I think everybody is feeling this in this atmosphere. This is the plan. This is it. And it's how does he succeed? And that was what's so energizing, is he only succeeds in this when we take our eyes off of Christ. When I take my eyes off of that, nothing else measures up. Nothing else will bring us to that place of peace. Pastor Schauer spoke a message on the talents, where each person was given a pound. What are you doing with your pound? What do you have with that pound? Are you concerned with that God has given us? Or are we wrapping it in a napkin and putting it aside? What is it that life matters? What's the most important thing? What's the most valuable thing to us? And when we get that in order, then everything else starts to fall in order. But when it's out of order, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. And watching different men, different places, some of these guys starting brand new ministries, others that have been doing it for 50 years, it was the one thing that kept them going, is their eyes were fixed upon the Lord. They were not letting their heart become weary. Because I joke about this COVID thing, and I understand the disease is real. I have seen people that have been affected by it. But at the same token, it's just overwhelming in the society, and it's really starting to take its toll, I believe. But God wants one thing more than anything else. He wants us to look up. And if we think back when the people of Israel were being plagued by serpents, right? And what did he say? Look at the brazen image of the serpent. And anyone with half a brain would say that's the stupidest thing you could have ever come up with, right? Come on, God, you're all powerful and you make a bronze serpent for us to look at. why don't you just heal COVID? Why don't you blow the wind out of here? But he says, I want you to look up. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to do that. Now, I don't know if there'll be a convention. I know that right now there's a war going on with the city of Baltimore down there. But I'll tell you, if there is, it's worth the chance. Best way I can describe last week was to make the decision business-wise to go there was one of my poorest business decisions that I have made in many years. But I pray that I will always make that same decision because what I received so outweighed what I lost. And I think we have to be thinking this way. And it takes to be around the body of Christ and to be around people that are excited to get yourself going, to get yourself remembering what we're a part of, where we are. This little ministry, the whole world. Listen to Pastor Gromo speaking the other day. And I think back, when's the first time that we saw him? Do you remember what year that was in Finland? When my hair was not gray and was still there. Right? Okay. We were in Finland and we were in this little office, and in this little office that the church had, and it was full of Russians and Finns and very few English speakers. And Pastor Cuomo, he started to sing, I don't remember the song now, but Baruka, what is that word? Yeah. And it was incredible, one of the most anointed times. We became friendly. He's come here, stayed with us here. And here's this guy who's started ministries all over the Russian world. Not just Russian proper, but also all of the satellite countries as well. Incredible. And there he is. You hear his voice, and he's still just as on fire. Came here and had an incredible time at the Russian Jewish nursing home, where he led a ton of people to the Lord. And you know, what are we about? Who are we? Who are we is what we got to think about. Who am I? I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I am a disciple of the Most High God. I am not from here. I am simply a representative of Christ on this earth. And if I understand that, and I understand that I'm not going to get my satisfaction from this world, then I get set free. It doesn't mean you don't have to work. It doesn't mean you don't have to deal with things. It doesn't mean we don't have to go. But it was so exciting to have that vision go beyond. To go beyond the, what are you going to do to make money? How are you going to get the next job? Right? Like so much of life is. So if you get an opportunity, and I'm not doing it justice, but you get an opportunity, take it. Take the chance. Take the chance and be with the body. Take the chance and step out of the comfort. Because it seems to be that's where God works the most. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thanks, Pastor Doug. What he alluded to. Right now, 7 o'clock, Baltimore is starting their service. And they were shut down on Sunday. And this past Sunday, the city of Baltimore slapped a sticker on the door of the church and shuttered them. So they're going to have service tonight. We'll see what happens. I talked to my parents. They said, we're packing an overnight bag just in case we get taken in. So, I mean, you know, I joke a little bit about it, but pray for the church there, Pastor Shally, the leadership. And, you know, I don't know if you've been listening to him, you know his thinking on it and his conviction towards the church being open. So, and this has happened. It's not the first case, right? It's maybe the first case we've heard of in our ministry, but this has been happening up in Canada, or is it Calgary? Is that where that pastor had been put in prison in Calgary? And they said, okay, we'll let you go. And he said, okay, what do I need to do? They said, well, just close your church. And he said, well, and he just sat back down in his cell. He said, I'm not. I'm going to be open if you let me out. So, and then also we've seen John MacArthur has been through 9 court cases in this same attempt. And it's not in a mockery of what is happening, but it is in a conviction of what the church is and what the church is doing. So just pray, and I know they're working well. I heard today Pastor Schuyler said we're in a good standing with the city, and we will continue to operate the way we feel we're called to. So they're kicking off right now. Look, it just turned, 6 o'clock in this room is actually 7 o'clock in Baltimore. This room is an hour behind. So we could pray for the crew there. So Lord Jesus, pray for, this time that we have in our church, and we pray for, Pastor Schuyler and the ministry down in Baltimore. And worldwide, the church is as a whole, all of the churches that are preaching the word and bringing the gospel, that you would bless them, you would give them favor, you would give them liberty, also health and safety. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Doug spoke about the TV screen behind us in Fellowship Hall down there in Baltimore. There's a TV screen, a huge TV, right? I said, ooh, I think I could put that in my living room. That'd be nice. But they had all the Zoom calls on there. And at one point, there was 100 pastors on the Zoom call and participating in the meeting. Pastor Ben Turquia gave a devotional. They put him on the screen, and he spoke to us from Jerusalem about evangelism. Right? Wasn't it? It was about evangelism. Oh, wow, that's an amazing, amazing thing. So we had a great time there, got to connect with a lot of other pastors in a unique way. And Pastor Eugene Davis says this is the first time I've ever been to Eurocon live. Right? It's like because it was not in Europe. He doesn't travel to Europe. He travels to Africa. Right? He doesn't go to Europe. Right? So he was glad to be at Eurocon. But we really did have a good time. I was encouraged. I was built. Oh man, just like spiritual billows. Like I was built. Also, my mom made carrot cake, and that was very good. So to be in the call of God, but then also to be in a part of a ministry, that this is something that we realize and something that we grow in. And recognizing at one time, when I first moved here, I would go out to coffee with Pastor Morrison, and he actually bought me a cup of coffee. Yeah. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Most generous person I've ever met. But I would ask him. I said, "What's important in the ministry? What is important?" I've made a list as we sat together. I have a little note, and I continued to build on it as he spoke. And one thing he said that was important in as a pastor was to appreciate the ministry that you're a part of and to understand the ministry you're a part of. And that hit me this week in a different way. And in saying that, I've been in this ministry for over 30 years, and I'm 36 years old. Right. My entire life has been in this ministry. I said every day of education I've had has been in greater grace, except for my first speeding ticket. Then I had to go to a driving class. That was different. Right. But my whole life has been in this ministry. And then to go there and to have a new appreciation and a new love for this ministry was special. So I'm so thankful for the emphasis that is being made in this time and the mission that we're on. One thing that hit me while we were there was Pastor Drew Wilczek asked one simple question and said, "What is your relationship to the lost? What is your relationship to the lost?" And I said, "Ooh, that's a good question." And as believers, are we relating to lost people? And if we are, in what way are we relating to lost people? It would be easy as believers to be so together that our only relation to lost people is complaining about them. Right? Have you ever found this in Christianity, that we like to complain about other people? We do. You do. We're all guilty of it. We are. Because right? We observe the world in the light of what we believe. And I think there's a line that we need to be very careful with where it is being critical of the lost and loving the lost. Like in our observation, we could fall off on either side of that. And I think in our heart, we need to guard that. Not that I'm saying we are accepting of things, but I'm saying that we are, am I approaching it in a way that brings light and brings the gospel? So what is my relationship to the lost? And it got me thinking. And that's why we went out soul winning today at 5 o'clock. We had a good time, didn't we? Pastor Don? Pastor Don was melting the pavement out there in 7-Eleven parking lot. He was preaching it up. I said, man, I got to get in the truck. My shoes are melting, sticking to the floor. No, we had a great time and we went up and down Lincoln Street a little bit. And, we stopped in at June's Table at the Anglican Church. They have Wednesday nights, Winter Coat Wednesday, it's called. They give out winter coats on Wednesday night. Some of you have donated to that. And we went in, we saw what they're doing. And, but what is it, Ashley? The guy, Mark. Yeah, he was just saying that to the two other ladies. And then we walked in and they said, can we help you? We said, we just want to say hi. We're from another church. We're down the street, Greater Grace. I'm Pastor Bailey. Like, oh, Pastor Bailey, Father Michael makes fun of you all the time. No, 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 he talks about you all the time. Right? And we went in, we just observed, right? And they said, do you need anything? I said, no, I mean, I think I'm okay. Maybe some soap, but I'm okay. And we didn't need anything, but we just wanted to see, and we wanted to, like, see what our church has been assisting in. Right? And it was a blessing to see it. But this is an important thing for us as a church, that we would be relating to the lost and that we would have outward ministry happening from our church, right? There's a lot of internal ministry that happens and it's very important, but just as important is that we would be outwardly ministering to people. So, we have those times Saturday and Wednesday where we can do that. But anyway, those are just some thoughts. Turn with me to Psalm 43. Completely different note. Psalm chapter 43. We are looking for God. Aren't we? Are we actually? Are we? Yeah, we are. We are looking for God. Now that we are believers, we are looking for God. We pray. We go to the Bible. We look for God. We come to the body of Christ. We are looking for God. We're looking to find answers. We're looking to find encouragement. We're looking to find joy. We're looking for God. How do we find it? How do we know where God is? How do we know what to follow? How do we know? Look at this, Psalm 43, starting in verse 3. Okay, verse 1. So short, right? It's only a few verses. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Have you ever asked that question? God, where are you? Have you forgotten me? Remember, it's me, Bailey. Have you forgotten me? Why have you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? We don't need to spend much time on that idea, do we? Have we felt oppression? Pastor Doug just expressed that he has. And we have. Spiritually, there is an oppression happening in the world. We in America could experience it in different ways in different times, but I think there is like the devil is working in the world and he is looking to oppress God's people and to put a cloud over things. When you wake up, have you ever been woken up quickly and you need to do something immediately? How does that usually work out? Usually walk into something, stub your toe, right? They can't talk correctly. Like this is the way the devil would like us to operate. In this fog or in this oppression where we don't know, we're not sure about our next step and we are not sure about our thoughts. But what do we need? And what do we need in this time? We need God. We need to find God. Verse 3. Send your light and your truth. Send your light and your truth. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He has sent us his word. we are looking for this, aren't we? We had a great class in the book of Hebrews this week talking about the Word of God in Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is this, that He has sent His Word into the world. Isaiah 55:11, He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And He sends His Word out into the world, and His Word accomplishes the thing that it was sent to accomplish. Lord, send Your light and Your truth. I need light so I can see, and I need truth so I can make decisions, so I can learn how to think, so I can get out of the fog, the COVID fog. That's what I blame my slow brain on right now, right? COVID fog. Oh, but then it's, yeah, anyway, whatever. Okay, send Your light and Your truth. Let them lead me. Let them lead me. Your light and Your truth are the things that lead me. Lead me where? Well, we'll see. That lead me towards God. By my own light, I cannot find God. And without Him, there is no truth in what I am doing. But with His light and in His truth, I can approach God. And I can begin my journey into the things of God. Look, He says, send Your light and Your truth. Let them lead me. Okay? First step is that they are leading me. That to be led, that I first need to start moving in the right direction. That I would start to move, and He would lead me towards something. But what happens next? It says that, let them bring me to Your holy hill. Okay? It could be that I'm in a desert. It could be that I am in a fog, like we were saying. I am in a fog, and I am looking for direction. The Word of God comes to me, and it leads me to Him. I start moving in this direction, and then that brings me to something. It brings me to His holy hill. And this is the little hill that we could say the temple is on. It is there when you look at drawings of or paintings of Jerusalem when the temple was there. It is amazing. I mean, amazing. Just the drawings are overwhelming to see the temple in operation and to see the lamps burning around, the sacrifice happening, and the prominence of the temple in the city of Jerusalem. I need His light and His truth to lead me to His holy hill. But simply being at the holy hill is not enough. What does He say next? He says, then You will lead me, You will bring me into or to Your tabernacle, to the place where You are dwelling, to the place where the presence of God is. And then I will go to the altar of God. Right? There is a process happening. God, what is Your way? Well, let me lead You, let me bring You, and I'll bring You to recognizing a place, but then I will bring You into that place, to the tabernacle, and then to the altar. And what happens at the altar? There are things are left there. Sacrifices are made there. Things are left there. Abraham left Isaac on the altar. Elijah put the bull on the altar. That things are put on the altar, and they are taken out of my hands. And in my approach to God, I leave my things with Him. Isn't that encouraging? How many things do we hold on to? Right? Like walking, how many guys, you go into the grocery store and you just blaze right past the carts? Like, who needs shopping carts? I'm just getting one thing. And then all of a sudden, like, you're going down the aisle like this and, like, kicking something else down the way. Right? Like, is this the way that we approach God? That we have all our stuff and He says, like, how you doing? And we say, oh, fine, just fine. Right? Doing good. Managing everything quite well. He says, well, if you will leave those things at my altar, then there will be there's another place for you to go. But you got to empty your hands. Empty your hands of your things. I am able to put many things into your hands, but you need to empty your hands first. When we start, we come to the altar of God and we lay all of our stuff there, right? We put it down. At one point, Jess was really into coupons. Did anybody else catch that craze, the coupon craze, right? Yeah. And she was just like getting free stuff, and she was following these blogs where these ladies got like free stuff. And it was like a rush. It was a high. She was chasing it, and it was just about getting free stuff. And she'd come home and she'd set everything up on the counter, like displayed. Right. And I'd come home and it was like this display. I say, wow. Right. She's like, look what I got. Right? You know how much I paid for that? I'm like, I don't know. $11.27. Wow. Wow. We will never use any of it. Right. What are we going to do with that? We don't need, but I got it for free. Hallelujah. Now we can put it in the trash. Like, what's the point of it? Right. She's going to kill me. But it is good. We got some good free stuff. But anyway, am I that way with God where I set up my stuff and I display it and I say, I have all of this stuff. And he says, but is it useful for your walk with me? And we can say, but it's mine. And he says, that's nice. It's yours, but you could give it to me. And I will put back into your hands the things that are useful for your walk with me. And the other stuff could just be consumed on the altar. And I don't think about it. How many things are we desiring for our life? How many things do we want to see happen? Well, put it on the altar. Don't put it before God, but instead put that thing secondary to God. Look what happens. I put the thing on the altar. Then I will go to the altar of God and then to God, my exceeding joy. Oh, I find God. And I am in fellowship with God. And in being in fellowship with God, there is an exceeding joy that exceeds the joy of all the free stuff I got with the coupons. Right? It exceeds the thing that I am clinging on to so tightly. And it can transform the way that I think about those things. I will come to the altar of God and to God, my exceeding joy. And on the harp, I will praise you, O God, my God. He puts a new song in our hearts. Have you ever seen anyone play the harp? It's amazing, isn't it? Like just the dexterity and the mind that it takes to do that. Right? Like drummers, I'm impressed. Like the feet are going with the hands and like it's amazing. Right? It's impressive. I have a hard time walking in general, right? But no, there is this dexterity in it and this beauty in it. And there's like all of these different strings that are plucked at different times and different rhythms that make an amazing melodious song. That my life comes together in worship. My life sings a song to God and praise to God. And there are all these different strings or these different chords in my life that when they are given to God, they raise a song. And then now I am sitting there in the presence of God with the harp playing before God and there is rising a song to Him. The multiple strings are played together. Isn't that amazing? That could be disastrous, couldn't it? If I were to grab a harp, it would be just boing, 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 right? But when someone knows, it's like beautiful, it's relaxing, it's peaceful. Right? And this is what we bring to God. Multiple areas of our life given to God, and each one honoring Him and each one praising Him lifts a new song to Him. And look at where is David coming from? He's coming from a place of saying, why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? I go mourning. I am discontented. I have complaints. I have problems. I have struggles. I have aggravations. I have irritations. I have all of it. But I will go to the altar of God. Lord, where is your light and your truth that it might lead me, that I would follow it, and that it would bring me somewhere, and that I would leave my stuff there, and then I would go into the presence of God and have a whole new song singing in my heart. Now he asks a whole different question. In the light of that, in the light of being led into the presence of God, we could say a different thing. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why? With this reality of being in the presence of God and having the freedom to come to God, my exceeding joy, why are you cast down? There is more to rejoice about than there is to be distracted about. Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance in my God. Okay. These are the things that we leave at the altar. The discontentment, right? The thing that would cast down my soul. What does it mean to be cast down? Well, Pastor Doug said it from 2 Corinthians 4, right? We faint not. We do not lose heart. I am cast down. I am discouraged. I want to faint. But instead, we go into the presence of God and we are encouraged. We are built. We are energized and we are electrified by His holy presence and His exceeding joy. We have a whole different thing. We walk out into the world and we say, why would I be cast down? Why would I be disquieted? I am content in God and I have fellowship with Him. This is what happens when He leads us into fellowship. It is not just Him correcting my behavior. Sometimes we view Christianity as behavior. Right? Have you ever heard that said to you? A good Christian wouldn't do that. Yep. My wife says it to me all the time. But we've heard it. But is Christianity simply behavior? It's not. It is not a behavior. It is fellowship with God. And in fellowship with God, I find that my behavior is dramatically affected. Yes, that is a result, that is a byproduct. But the point is that I would be in fellowship with God. David, multiple times in the Psalms, has this experience that he is not doing well in the beginning. Right? Like in this Psalm, he's not doing well in the first two verses, isn't he? He's angry. Vindicate me, O Lord. He's discouraged. Why do I go mourning? But then he is led into the presence of God and he walks out with a completely different view of things and a completely different understanding. Why would I be disquieted? Why would I be cast down? I have put my hope in God. And if I have put my hope in God, then what is going to fail? What is not going to come to pass in my life? And we could say, well, all the things. They said, no, I left those things at the altar. I'm not talking about the temporal things. I'm talking about my walk with God, my eternal security, my hope in heaven. It is secure in Him. So, just an encouragement to go through this process. Be led into the presence of God. And in being led into the presence of God, I learn God. Oh my gosh, imagine that. Could I learn God? Yeah, that's what David's saying here. My hope is in God. I find exceeding joy, and my hope is in Him. And I will yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Now, this is what we said in Hebrews chapter 4, that there is the Word of God given to us. It is quick, it is powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to a depth that nothing else can pierce. It divides and it discerns things that cannot be discerned naturally. And then Hebrews 4:16, the result of being led and encouraged in the Word of God is that I come boldly to the throne of grace and I obtain something. I obtain mercy to help in time of need. I don't obtain a reward in time of good behavior. Imagine that. Come boldly to the throne of grace as long as you've been good and receive the reward of the things that you've done properly. Right? No. Come running boldly in time of need. When you are discouraged, when you have failed, when you are in sin, turn from it and run to the throne of grace and receive mercy to help in that time of need and come away with a different song. So that your life could sing a different way, that each area of your life would be plucking a different string in rhythm with the grace of God. And we say, oh, hallelujah, my perspective's changed. My view of things has changed. And this happens by being led into the presence of God. What is his light? What is his light and his truth? It's the Word of God, right? Psalm 119:105. We already said it, right? Psalm 119:105. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119 is a fascinating psalm. 176 verses. Eddie memorized it. He's going to recite it at the team meeting, right? From memory. 176 verses, every single one of those verses mentions in some capacity the Word of God. It's written as they were being brought into exile, right? Being dragged out of Jerusalem and put into captivity and slavery in Babylon. That's a time to be disquieted, isn't it? It's a time to be downcast. But what is he saying instead? Your word, Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I am following this path on earth, but I want to follow this path in a spiritual life, and I want to see things differently and sing a different song. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this psalm. Thank you for your word spoken to us and given to us. And just ask that you would lead us into your presence, Lord, and help us to let go of all the things that we hold on so tightly to. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.